Here in chapter 18 of Matthew, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, do you know what it means to be converted and to become as little children? Good question. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me..." The Lord has a lot to say about these little ones. You have to look that up sometime in your concordance. "These little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe unto that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off, cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt and maimed, rather than having two hands to be and two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." We want to look here in verse 3, take our subject from that verse. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." We want to preach this morning on the subject, have you lost your wonder? Have you lost your wonder? I believe that we that are saved by the grace of God, I believe we need the heart of a child. I believe that's what he's saying here. That we need the heart of a child. You know, a little child never loses their wonder. They never lose their wonder. I got two little grandbabies back home. Little boys, about like that. And those little dudes never lose their wonder. Everything is so amazing to them. Everything is so exciting to them. Everything's a surprise to them. And so, I believe this ought to be true in the heart of every person that is saved by the grace of God. That we have the heart of a little child. I believe as church members, we need the heart of a little child. And I believe that we have lost our wonder. And I believe we have lost the wonder of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have lost the wonder of our Lord. Do you remember when He used to be King of your life? Do you remember when He was the master of your life? He was the ruler of your life. He was the controller. He was the governor of your life. Y'all remember that? Remember when you were first saved? Everything was so amazing. Everything was exciting. Everything was such a joy to you. We want to try to take you all back there. And we want you all to go back right now to the day that the Lord saved you. You all back there? What are you all smiling about? Huh? That was a joyful time, wasn't it? That was an amazing time. in your life. When the Lord saved you by the grace of God. But we've had a tendency to leave our first love. And the Lord said there in Revelation, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And so many today have left their first love. Now, the Lord isn't as precious to you as He was when you were first saved. Huh? Is He? What's wrong? What's happened? We've lost the wonder of our Lord. I mean, it just, when I was first saved, I would read the Bible and I'd say, "Man, I need to start doing this. Or I need to stop doing that, you know, whatever." Boy, I can remember that just clear as day. And so, we've had a tendency to leave our first love. You know, you used to be able to get up and just talk to people about your salvation and you're just saved and it was so exciting to you. I remember coming home and the first thing I did was get on the phone, call my grandmother all the way down to Greenville, Illinois. And I had to tell her that I was saved by the grace of God. First of all, I called my mother and told my mother. And then I called my grandmother and told her that I was saved by the grace of God. I was so excited. I went to work the next day, grabbed my lunch bucket, and I grabbed my Bible. Had an old Bible there that the preacher gave to us when we were first married, my first wife and I. And when he gave me that Bible, I thought, what in the world does he want to give me a Bible? You know? But that Bible ended up being the greatest gift, one of the greatest gifts that I'd ever received. I grabbed my lunch bucket in one hand, Bible in the other hand, walked down the middle of that shop, and everybody's eyeballs were rolling on the floor. You know, they just couldn't believe. You know, but I was so excited. I was so joyful that the Lord in His mercy and His grace saw fit to save such a sinner as Roger Jones. But we've lost our wonder. We have lost our wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ being the master and the controller and the ruler of our life. Many have lost the wonder of their salvation. David said there in the book of Psalms in chapter 51, he said, "Restore unto me," what? "The joy of my salvation." Restore unto me. He had to have something there before you can restore. He'd already had salvation. He didn't lose it. And he said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." So it's possible for us to lose the wonder of our salvation. You know, we need to keep in mind what it cost the Lord Jesus Christ to save our soul. Did y'all ever meditate on that much? Do you ever think about that much? What it cost the Lord Jesus Christ to save our soul? Do you remember how exciting it was when the Lord saved you? Do you? But we have had a tendency to lose the wonder, the amazement of our salvation. And I just knew that was one of the questions that you all were going to ask me today. When the Lord saved me. And I sat there in that chair as I was thinking about that. And I started crying. Then I had to bow my head and say, "Lord, forgive me for not appreciating and being thankful for my salvation that You have given to me." But we have lost the wonder of our salvation. You say, well, what's the cure for that? Repentance. Just simply repent. Right where you're at right now. Just simply say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Because I am thankful for the salvation that You have given to me. The Lord did something for us that day that we were saved that we could have never done for ourselves. You're here and lost without Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can never save yourself. You can never do enough good works to get to heaven. The Lord must grant unto you the repentance and the faith to believe and to trust in Him as your personal Savior. And if you're going to be saved, He is going to save you. You'll never be saved any other way. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. And so I believe we've had a tendency to lose the wonder of our salvation. Many have lost the wonder of their church. The Lord said He loved His church so much that He gave Himself for it. That's how much He loved His church. And He saw fit to add us unto a New Testament Baptist church. Added unto the one that He built during His personal ministry. But we've lost that wonder. Do you dread going to church? Do you dread going to church sometimes? Are you bored at the sermon sometimes? Are you bored at your Sunday school teacher's lessons sometimes? You say, well, yeah. What's happened? You've lost your wonder. Huh? Your church doesn't mean as much to you as it used to when you first joined it. Boy, I can remember. When the Lord saw fit to add me to His church. That was a great moment in my life also. You can miss church now and it doesn't bother you. You've lost your wonder. I mean, the least little thing can come up. And you'll put that first before your church services. And when we get to feeling like that, and when we start making moves like that, we have lost the wonder of our church. I can remember when I was first saved. The Lord added me to a Faith Baptist church there in Jackson. I couldn't wait till I got back to church on Sunday night. Couldn't wait till I got back. But now, you have a tendency to... Y'all remember that? Huh? But now you have a tendency to drag yourself back to church. You've lost your wonder. You've lost your wonder. Now, many have lost the wonder of their song service. Huh? Come to church now and you say, oh, how I love Jesus. Huh? Y'all know what I'm talking about? What are y'all smiling about? You know, that doesn't take much effort, does it? Huh? Oh, how I love Jesus. Now, that takes a little more effort, doesn't it? Huh? But I believe that's the way it ought to be. When we come to it, we say, well, why do you sing anyway? Why do we sing? Why do y'all sing? When you come to church, why do you sing? Why do we have three or four songs and some specials and the choir sings and so on? Oh, Fred, he'd done a pretty good job with that. Why is it? Why do we sing? That is a time that we have set aside as a church to sing and honor and praise the Lord and glorify His name. That's the reason we sing. But you know, it can become a habit to us. You know, and we do it out of habit. Song leader said, turn to page 21, turn to page 21, you sing, and turn to page 50, we turn to page 50, we sing, and song service is over, and we really didn't get anything out of it. You know what's happened when that happens? We've lost our wonder. Boy, I can remember song leader saying, what a friend we have in Jesus. I mean, man, alive, that was the greatest song I had ever heard in my life. I loved singing, what a friend we have in Jesus. And then he is saying, leaning on the everlasting arms. You know? And I was so excited, and I just loved those songs. 35 years later, now we can sing, what a friend we have in Jesus, and it's just, what a friend we have in Jesus. Y'all know what I'm saying? And so we have a tendency to lose our wonder of our song service. And we have a tendency also to lose the wonder of the truth. Now you have a tendency to compromise the truth. And we can do that. Boy, I can remember Brother Turner preach on eternal security of the believer. Oh man, that was the greatest doctrine. I mean, that was just, you know, that was just glorious. Baptism and tithing and all of those good doctrines, you know. Preaching on the church. I couldn't wait till I got back on Sunday night. I couldn't. I wanted to hear doctrine. I wanted to hear the truth. And I couldn't wait till I got back on Sunday night to where I could hear some more truth. I just wanted all I could get. Y'all remember that? Now the preacher get up and preach on eternal security of believers. Say, what in the world is he preaching that for? He knows we believe that. You know? Why is he preaching on tithing again? He just preached on that 6 months ago. Huh? You know where I'm at now? But we have a tendency to do that. I can remember Brother Turner baptized me in the Kalamazoo River. And after he baptized me, I was coming out of the water, and there's a big old rock about that big. And I stepped on that rock, and I was going to step up on shore. Well, when I did, my foot slipped off that rock, and right beside that rock was a jagged beer bottle, broken beer bottle. And I slipped my bottom of my foot right in the arch of my foot, just sliced it wide open. And they took me to the hospital and put a bunch of stitches in them and wrapped it up. And boy, that thing was throbbing. But you know where I was on Sunday night? I wanted to go to church. I didn't feel right staying home. You say, well, no, that's different. That's a providential hindrance. But I felt that I could go to church. And I could prop that foot up on a chair at church as well as I could at home. So I sat there and served and propped that foot up and I heard some more preaching. You say, yeah, but that's when you was younger. You know. You see what I mean? But we have a tendency to let the least little thing discourage us from coming to the house of God. You know, we really do. And when we see that beginning to happen in our life, we need to stop and say, hey, I've lost the wonder for the truth. But that does happen. You know, the Lord said, I have no greater joy than to see my people walk in truth. I have no greater joy. That's something greater than soul winning. The Lord rejoices to see us come together and worship together in the truth. It's a joy to Him. It ought to be a joy to us as we walk in the truth. Many have lost the wonder of their prayer life. Y'all have prayer bands here on Sunday night? Y'all band together and pray? That's what a prayer band is. You know, a lot of people don't know what a prayer band is. You know, we band together and pray. I pastored one of my churches, and this fellow said, I invited him to come to prayer band. I said, come be with us in prayer band tonight. And he said, I don't have anything to pray about. And I said, well, we'll be praying that the Lord will give you something to pray about. You say, you didn't say that. Yeah, I did. And that's true. He was there in prayer band. But the Lord can give us something to pray about. And I believe every one of us, no doubt, can become very lax in our prayer life. I mean, get down to business and really pray. To set a time aside every day to really pray. I'm not saying praying at breakfast and lunch and supper. I'm talking about a special time and a special place where we can get together and just do nothing but talk to the Lord. It may be going down the road in your car. Man, I've had some great prayer meetings going down the road in the car praying. Man, I'll be praying up a storm, tears just a rolling, you know. People driving by and looking at me and all, oh, poor guy, you know. And here I'm just rejoicing and bubbling over, you know, just talking to the Lord. But I believe that we have had a tendency to lose the wonder of our prayer life. Brother V.A. Turner, some of you probably remember Brother V.A. Turner. He was a praying man. I mean, he prayed. We'd go out on visitation. We'd pray before we went. We would pray while we were out there. We'd get through. We'd pray. And I'd drop him off at his house and we'd pray again. I mean, he just prayed all the time. But I believe that we have, and I enjoyed every minute of it. I just really praised God for it. And I just realized today that I should have enjoyed it even much more today than I did back then. I really enjoyed it. But we have lost the wonder of our prayer life. You know, that's how we talk to the Lord. And that's how the Lord talks to us. Isn't it? But we have lost the wonder of our prayer life. And we have lost the wonder for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. You know, when you get to bickering and fussing and fighting with one another and finding fault, you know, it's awful easy for us to do that. Isn't it? You know, you look around and say, boy, this one ought to be doing this one, that one ought to be doing that and this. And you know, and we get to fussing and fighting, fretting, carrying on. And when you start doing that, you've lost your wonder. You've lost your wonder for your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Your brothers and sisters in the church. You all need to stay close together. And I can sense that. I can sense that with y'all. It just seemed like everybody just working together, and it's just amazing the way all that business went off. You know, some churches it take about a week and a half to get something like that done. You know, and they've just done just like that, and that's good. You decide whether he's going to have a service or not. Some churches it take 4 hours to decide that. You know, it just seemed like everybody working together, and that's great, and that's the way it ought to be. But when we start complaining and we start finding fault with one another, when you start doing that, you've lost your wonder for your brothers and sisters in the Lord. You know, we need to be tolerant of one another. More tolerant. Huh? Don't we? All of us need that. It's awful easy for us to find fault with one another. And we need to love one another as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Be patient with one another. And pray for one another. You know, it's amazing what prayer do. And you start getting that kind of attitude, you know. And you start praying for that brother, that sister. And then you watch the Lord work. I had a fellow come to me, it's been a few years back, and said, Brother Jones, we're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do something with Brother so-and-so. Said, we can't go on any longer with the kind of attitude that he's got. Said, you're going to have to do something. I said, all right. I said, I want you to go home and pray for him. And I'm going to pray for him. And we're going to sit back and watch the Lord work. And it wasn't a week or two. And that man's attitude changed 100%. It's through prayer. But we have had a tendency to lose that wonder for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. I believe unity is very essential. Don't let things divide. Don't let things split. You know, a lot of times it's nothing but our hard-headedness, you know. We're going to be determined to have our way, and it's going to be like this, and I'm not going to budge, and I'm not going to move, and you go on like that for a year or two, and sometimes even longer than that, you know, and try to worship the Lord. It's impossible to do that. You see what I mean? But when we get to feeling like that, and those things start happening in our life, we have lost the wonder of our brothers and sisters. We've lost the wonder of soul winning. We're not enthused as we used to be about seeing people saved. Let me give you a good illustration of that. How many of you this morning, how many of you prayed that the Lord would save somebody in the services this morning? Nobody? That's what I'm saying. We've lost the wonder of seeing people saved by the grace of God. We used to be burdened about lost souls. How heavy of a burden did you carry this last week about seeing somebody saved? Your loved ones or your friends or people you work with or whatever. How big a burden did you carry last week? How about last 2 weeks? How about the last month? How concerned have you been about seeing somebody saved by the grace of God? Nothing greater can happen. Nothing rejoices your heart more than when you see somebody step out of that seat and down that aisle and acknowledge that the Lord has saved them by the grace of God. I never will forget when old Jeff was saved. He was saved during the meeting we was holding here. Brother Harvey and I, we were praying all week long for him. And he come stepping out of that aisle, and he looked like he's walking backwards, you know. But he'd gone lickety-split forward. The Lord saved him by the grace of God. Man, wasn't that a time of rejoicing? Huh? Wasn't that amazing? That was so exciting. And several of you have seen a lot of people here probably saved by the grace of God. And it was so exciting. But we have lost the wonder of our soul winning. When's the last time you sat down and you talked to somebody about being saved by the grace of God? How long have you been saved? Have you ever won anybody to the Lord? Huh? Have you ever sat down with somebody, opened up the Bible, and say, here it is. I want to show you something here in the Bible. I want to show you how to be saved by the grace of God. And they were saved. So, I don't know. I don't think I could do that. I don't think I can do that. Listen, if you know how the Lord saved you, you can tell somebody else how to be saved, and the Lord can save them. If He can save you, He can save them. But we have had a tendency to lose the wonder of our soul winning. Call it what you want to. Witnessing to people, talking to people about their soul salvation. Now, let's notice also, we have lost the wonder of separation. I said, Brother Jones, I knew you was going to get it. There used to be condemnation over worldliness in our life. Y'all remember that? Boy, I can remember when I was first saved. It just anything. I mean, that preacher preach it. I'd look in the Bible. I'd see that it was the truth. I'd do away with it. Had a bathing suit. Went home, opened up a drawer there one day, and I saw them in there. I took them out and put them in a barrel and burned them. You see, I was just a little fanatical. I had a deck of cards. I took the deck of cards out, put them in the burning barrel and burned them. You say, you're just going a little bit too far. Well, that was with me. I mean, I was condemned over that. I used to make money that way. I got rid of them. I was condemned over that. You may not be, but I was. And I got rid of them. Anything that would separate me from my Lord and take me further away from the Lord, I didn't want it. I wanted that which would draw me closer to the Lord, and I was closer to the Lord. You know, in Titus chapter 2, let's turn over there just for a minute. I'm going to use this passage of Scripture here in Titus. Titus chapter 2. I want to notice in verse 11. After you're saved by the grace of God, there are some things that the grace of God teaches you. And I want you to notice here. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, in verse 11, chapter 2, hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. What's teaching us? The grace of God is teaching us. And notice what the grace is teaching us. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So there is some things here that the grace of God teaches us. And the grace of God will teach us to live a separated, dedicated, holy, sanctified life for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the grace of God will teach you. If you will listen to it and you will accept it, that's what the grace of God will teach you. But we've lost the wonder of separation. You used to enjoy living godly for the Lord. Do y'all remember that? And little bit by little bit here and little bit there, you give in here, give in here, give in here. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There's a lot of things that you may be practicing today that you didn't practice 10 years ago or 20 years ago. But you give in a little bit here and a little bit here and a little bit here, and now you are where you are today. And you know you were a lot closer to the Lord back then when you was obedient to the Lord, you were surrendering your life to the Lord, and you was trying to do your best to live as godly as you could possibly live. Isn't that the way it ought to be? Huh? But we've lost our wonder. We've lost our wonder of separation. And then last of all, next to last of all, say you preachers say that all the time. We've lost the wonder of the second coming of Christ. And that's another you need to add to your list there. I believe in the pre-trib and pre-mill and all that good stuff too. But we've lost the wonder of the second coming of Christ. Seems as though we want to hang on to this old world. You know, the world doesn't have a thing to offer me. Doesn't have one thing to offer me. The Lord has everything to offer. Why do God's people want to hang on to the things of this world? I'll tell you why. They've lost their wonder. They've lost their wonder. There ought to be in every child of God a sense of surprise, glad expectancy. Now, have you lost your wonder? Have you? Have you lost your wonder of salvation? Have you lost the wonder of the Lord? Have you lost the wonder of your church, song services, prayer, the truth, your brothers and sisters, soul winning, second coming? You know, you can have that back by just simply saying, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I repent. Lord, restore unto me the joy like You did to David. Restore that to me. I want that back. I want that back. Has the Lord spoken to you this morning? If He has, what are you going to do about it? You say, well, I don't know. I'm just going the way I am, I guess. No, don't do that. If you need to come, you want to give an invitation, say, well, what do you want to give an invitation for? The reason I give an invitation is for people to respond to what I've just preached. And if you feel the Holy Spirit of God speaking to your heart, you come. You might be able to take care of it right where you're at. If you can, that's fine. That's great. Let's all stand and have a song, invitation. Brother Fred, you come and lead us. The Lord has spoken to you. We urge you to come.
Number 212.
Page 212. Maybe you're here and lost, never been saved by God's grace. Why don't you come? The Lord has spoken to you. You say, well, I don't understand everything about salvation. Do you want to understand? I'll be glad to sit here. I'll sit here all afternoon with you. Show you in the Bible how to be saved. Maybe there's a desire there in your heart to be saved. Maybe you're here, you're doubting whether you're saved. The Lord has answers for that too. Whatever the Lord has spoken to you about, we urge you to come. Let us sing.